All right, you guys ready? So let me pray again and submit this time to the Lord. So Father, we just thank you again for giving us this opportunity to be together and now to hear your word. And we pray that you would guide us in this time. Jesus, only you to minister to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so today we're starting a new sermon series. It's called Questions We Have. And so I have gotten some questions from the congregation to answer during this sermon series about the next 6 weeks or so. And you might have some question that you think we could address here on a Sunday morning. And so you could email any questions that you have to connect@vineyardofharvest.org. And we will consider answering that on Sunday morning. Okay, so today's title and the question that we're answering today is, how does God want us to respond to healing? How does God want us to respond to healing? And this is an important question. We do see healing in the Bible. We see that Jesus healed people. We believe that Jesus heals people today. We recently, in the last 2 years, had two major conferences. You may remember Robbie Dawkins just came a few months ago. We experienced some healing in that conference. Jordan Seng came last year. We experienced healing then. Robbie Dawkins is coming back again in December. So we really do believe in God's healing in this church. We have experienced God's healing in the conferences and even just along the way in our Sunday services and in just church life. And so the question is, how does God want us to respond to healing? How do we respond to healing as Christians? So open your Bibles to John chapter 9. And it is more important this morning for you to turn in your Bibles because it's a long chapter. There's 41 verses. We're looking at the whole chapter. But I will only put up select passages up on the screen. So it'd be good for you to have it open in front of you. John chapter 9, when Jesus tells us how to respond to healing. Okay, so let me start out with an illustration just to help us start thinking in line with today's passage. So can you help me with this illustration? Can you just raise your hand and just put it all the way up if you either wear glasses or contacts or have had LASIK surgery? Just put your hand all the way up, okay, just so that we can see it. Okay, now keep your hand up. And how many of you, with your hand raised, would say that it would be difficult for you to do everyday life if your glasses or contact lenses or the LASIK surgery was reversed? How many of you would be difficult to live everyday life? Okay, keep your hand raised. All right, look around the room. Look around the room. We really need to pray for God's healing upon our eyes. There's lots of us that are like this. And I want to, okay, you put your hands down. And I want to give this little opening illustration because, you know, in Bible times, there were no eyeglasses or contact lenses or LASIK eye surgery, for sure. And so, you know, Jesus' most frequent healing was healing eyes, probably because lots of people needed it, right? And so also, you know, the unsanitary conditions in ancient Bible times, they would cause other eye conditions, not just, you know, nearsightedness or farsightedness, but other things. And so it was the most frequent healing of Jesus, right? You could probably, for those of us who are familiar with the Bible, we remember those stories, right? Blind Bartimaeus, the blind man at Bethsaida, the blind and mute man, et cetera, et cetera. There was a bunch of healings that Jesus did of eyes. So this morning, when we look at today's passage in John chapter 9, just to help us relate a little bit, he was a person in need healing in his eyes. So imagine life without glasses or contact lenses and having to just navigate life. This guy was completely blind, so even that much worse. And so we could think about that as we read today's passage to just relate to him a little bit more. Okay, so John chapter 9, 1 through 7, we're going to start there. And can you all read it out loud together? John, as he went along, okay, this was a phenomenal healing of Jesus. I mean, it was really dramatic, right? You see it in the mud and the saliva. It was dramatic. It was phenomenal. This man was blind from birth. We find out right here in this passage. If you just look down at the very next verse, verse 8, it's not up on the screen, but you can look down and see, it says that all he could do was sit and beg. So this guy was blind from birth. All he could do was sit and beg. And Jesus, in Jesus' love and compassion, healed him, completely restored his vision, but also restored his livelihood, right? He could now work. He can now go into society and navigate life in regular society now that he was able to see. And so this was a phenomenal healing of Jesus. Now imagine for a moment if this healing happened here in this congregation, or let's just say in the city of Walnut or whatever city that you live in. Imagine if this dramatic, phenomenal healing happened to a person, their eyes were restored, and their livelihood was restored. They were given a life in society. Imagine if that happened amongst us. Lots of us, I think lots of us in the room, we would just praise God. We would just give thanks to God. We would share testimony. We would share a 90-second testimony about this. We would give glory to Jesus, and we'd be really excited about it. But I think that you would agree that there would be some people in the town who would be skeptical, who would be cynical, who would still doubt. And there certainly was this case in this town, in this story. Before we read about the skepticism of the people in this town, can you just brainstorm with the person sitting next to you, groups of two, at most three, just for 1 minute? Tell them what kind of skeptical thoughts could go through our town if this happened. Okay, don't look in your Bibles. Some of you may know this story, but don't look in your Bibles for what their skepticism was. Just what do you think would happen in our town, the skeptical thoughts. All right, 1 minute. Go ahead, talk to your neighbor. All right, let's bring it back together, and can I hear some of your thoughts? Before we find out what happened in this town, what do you think would happen in our town? Can I have one from right around here? Just shout it out. What are some skeptical thoughts that might arise? Bell. He was faking his blindness. That's in today's passage, by the way. Anybody, how about in the section back there? Anybody? Josh? That's in today's passage too. Sort of. How about right up here? Any skeptical thoughts that you can think of? I'm sorry. Say it again. Oh, coincidence. It was gonna get better anyway. And so we said, okay, Catherine. Placebo effect, okay. That's not in today's passage. All right, so let's find out a couple of skeptical thoughts from this town here, verses 8 and 9. Can you read that out loud together? He said it was his twin brother who was completely fine that was here. It was an imposter. It was someone who was faking it. The blind guy is still out there. Maybe he got kidnapped and he's hidden away, but he's still out there completely blind, and this guy is just claiming to be healed, right? So this is one of these skeptical thoughts. Now, I want to say, would you agree this is an understandable skeptical thought? I mean, it's possible. It was possible in this town. This man in this story, definitely denied that. And he said, no, I'm really this person. He recounted the whole dramatic story of the mud and the saliva to them. But they didn't respond well to that. They continued to have skepticism, cynicism, and to the point that they brought him to the ruling elders of the religion back then, the Pharisees. And so let's look at verse 13 to 16 for further cynical, skeptical thoughts from this town, specifically from the Pharisees. Verses 13 through 16. So can you read that out loud together? They brought... Would you agree that this also is an understandable skeptical thought that they had? That they were saying, listen, the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath, not doing work on the Sabbath, it's one of the Ten Commandments. It's the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. And so if this healing happened on the Sabbath and broke one of the Ten Commandments, then this has got to void out this miracle. In fact, they said, and you got to read further on in the passage for this, but they said, if Jesus was the one that did this healing on the Sabbath, and Jesus broke one of the Ten Commandments, then Jesus is a sinner. And even if Jesus performed this miracle, he performed it as a sinner. And so they made this proclamation that Jesus was a sinner. Huge problem, right? If this was the case. Now, in this story, Jesus wasn't there to defend himself. But I do want to point out that there are seven times in Scripture that Jesus did a miracle on the Sabbath. And some of those times, he was there to defend himself. And I want to point out just one of those passages. It's Mark chapter 3, verse 34. And this is what Jesus said about this criticism, like, you know, this skeptical thought. It's this healing happened on the Sabbath. What to do with that? Okay, Mark 3, verse 4. This is Jesus speaking. So go ahead and read this out loud together. So Jesus was telling them, it's not only okay, it would be a good thing to heal on the Sabbath. So he made this point. And he made other points along the way, those other seven, the other six miracles that happened on the Sabbath. But the point is that they had these skeptical thoughts. It was debunked by both that man who was born blind, also by Jesus in his words along the way. But these people continued in their skepticism, just continued in their cynicism. This miracle that happened, healing that happened, they're just skeptical about it, reasons why they didn't want to believe, reasons why it didn't actually happen. And it all culminated in verse 34 of John chapter 9. Let's read it out loud together. To this, they replied. So they excommunicated him. The guy that was born blind received the healing of Jesus, the love and compassion fell upon him. And they didn't believe it. They were all skeptical about it, all cynical about it. And finally, after lots of conversation from verse 8 to verse 33, and then in verse 34, they said, we had enough of this. Then they threw him out, excommunicated him. When they excommunicated him, what that meant was that he was no longer able to connect with his family, his friends. He was no longer able to work. I mean, he was cast out of society. Let me put it like this. Let me give us an image of it. Imagine if, when I take off my glasses, I can't see enough to do my job, right? I can't see enough to drive to work. I can't see enough even to read the PowerPoint on the screen. I can't do my job. I can't even see you to greet you properly, you know, on a Sunday morning. Now imagine if Jesus, and we fast forward to 21st century, and he heals me, and I'm able to see, but then I get thrown out of the church. And I get excommunicated. I said, I'm not allowed to see my family or my friends again, and I'm not allowed to work. In many ways, I would be worse off than I was before. I will be able to physically see, but all the rest of everything else in my life would be a lot worse. If I could put it like this for that blind man, Jesus came, restored his sight, restored his livelihood, and all the rest, but the skepticism and the cynicism of that town served to actually reverse the healing. Jesus now gave him an opportunity to go and live in society, to make a living, and these townspeople, in their skepticism and cynicism, made it even worse for him. He couldn't even connect with his family or his friends. He couldn't work, and he was thrown out of the synagogue. You might think at this point, you know, isn't some skepticism or cynicism good? You know, there's some people out there in Jesus' name are doing some healings that are not legitimate, you know, and they might even be ill-intentioned, certainly ill-informed. And so isn't some skepticism and cynicism healthy for us to have? I would agree with that. I would agree that there's some people doing some things in Jesus' name that's just not in line with Jesus' heart. However, I think the point that Jesus was trying to make to this town and the reason why this story was included into Scripture was that we could let skepticism and cynicism be the overwhelming sentiment for us and even begin to block the further love and compassion of Jesus in our lives or in our generation, in our church, in our families, by our skepticism. And this was what was happening in this town. Jesus wanted to extend the love and compassion, extend the miracles, extend the kingdom impact in their lives, but their skepticism and cynicism was blocking Jesus from doing this and actually reverse the miracle for this man born blind. I just want to give an example right now, a point of application just for our church, but this is the part where I say, let Holy Spirit speak to you. Because the application for you about skepticism or cynicism of God's healing or God's miracles or God's answered prayers, it's probably very specific for you. Let God speak to you this morning. But let me give a specific application just for us as a church. And let me use the church building project. I mean, we're surrounded by God's love and compassion. Literally, we're surrounded by God's love and compassion. Just along the way, from 3 years ago, we could name every single point, the first initial collection of the $80,000 to start the project, the renovation, the permit that was given to us by the other church, the full cost covered by the renovations, the full rent all along the way for 3 years, et cetera, to be at this point right now. Over $1 million that's been collected towards the purchase, or about $1 million collected towards the purchase. I mean, there's lots of miracles that we could think. But, and I could just, let me just insert myself. So I'm not saying that any of you had this sentiment, but there could be the thought that creeps in along the way. And I'll just be honest, that the thought has crept in for me. Well, if God's really the God, this miracle working God, and his love and compassion is here, then why are we at this point, 3 weeks away from the deadline, still needing $885,000? We could have that sentiment. We could have that thought. Let me say it to you, church, that if we let that be the overwhelming sentiment, just like for this town, that they began to reverse and block the work that Jesus had already initiated in that man's life and had initiated in that town. They began to reverse it for him and even seemingly block it for the rest of the time by doing that. And I want to tell you that the response that we need to always have is that we just keep on praising Jesus, keep on worshiping him, keep on thanking him for his love and compassion, that his love and compassion would continue to flow in our lives, would continue to flow in our generation. If you think that the love and compassion was flowing on this man's life already, I mean, he was blind, he was healed, Jesus wanted to restore him to society. Watch what happens next, verses 35 to 38, the love and compassion that Jesus has is just so overwhelming. Can you read it out loud together? Jesus heard that they had... Jesus didn't just want to heal this man physically. There was a bunch of physical healings. I mentioned that it was the most frequent healing of Jesus. So Jesus loved to heal eyes, loved to heal people of blindness. It was just his loving compassion. But Jesus also wanted to spiritually heal this man so that this man would have clarity to see Jesus in his heart. This man would be able to clearly see God's will, God's way for him, that he would place his faith completely in Jesus. So Jesus wanted a physical healing, but also a spiritual healing. He wanted him to be able to see life and salvation from God's perspective. So Jesus, in his love and compassion, wanted so much for this man. But he also, even for all the skeptics, all the people that were cynical and skeptical, Jesus actually wanted it for them too, for the Pharisees. And so he engages in a dialogue with the Pharisees at the end of this chapter, and he says this. So let's read verses 40 and 41. This is the conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees, who were completely skeptical and cynical. Here's what he says to them. Let's read it together. Some Pharisees... Let me say again. I'm going to back up to ancient Bible times, and I can't see. The natural response, the logical response, I call out to Jesus. Help me, I can't see. Jesus, I can't work, I can't do my job. Jesus, I need healing. That would be the logical, common sense response. But what the Pharisees are doing, and what we can also do in our lives, is that we could be not able to see, not able to even do our job, but we're like, I'm all good, I'm good. I'm good. I'm fine. I'll figure out a way. I'll figure out a way to do things. I'm good. And we don't call out desperately to Jesus. That makes completely no sense. But Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, listen, this is what you are doing. I'm asking you to humble yourself and to begin to call desperately out to God that he would actually heal you. Let me tell you a little story that happened literally last Sunday when I was here in service. So last Sunday, while I was in service, I got a Facebook message from my high school classmate that I have not talked to you for 20 years, okay? By the way, I don't recommend checking your Facebook message during service, but I happened to be taking notes, taking sermon notes as Pastor Jimmy was preaching, and so just a little disclaimer on that point. All right, so the Facebook message comes in. It's my 20 years. I have not been in touch with him for 20 years. I have not even been Facebook friends with him for 20 years. I just added him like, I don't know, a few weeks ago. And so, but he Facebook messaged me and he sent his phone number and he said, can you give me a call? So I called him later on Sunday evening. I should mention for this for context. This, my friend from high school, captain of the football team, captain of the lacrosse team, honor student, went on to medical school, is a practicing doctor in Hawaii right now, married, has a daughter. So I get in touch with him, and he tells me that for many of the years along the way to now, and he didn't use these words, but he was saying, you know, I've been saying, I'm all good. I'm good. He has a lot of reason to say that he's all good. He's making $300,000 a year, you know, living it up over in Hawaii, and has a good life. I mean, by the world standards. But he got in touch with me because recently he's been realizing, you know what, I'm not all good. I'm not all good. Dennis, I'm not all good. And he began to call out to God. Part of his way of calling out to God was to get in touch with me, you know, knowing that I'm a Christian pastor and wanted to just get some counsel, you know, in his life, some godly counsel in his life. He's calling out to God. And there was other, he wasn't just contacting me, he was listening to some sermons online, but he was calling out to God. And so I talked to him on Sunday evening, also because of his situation. I talked to him again on Tuesday evening, and I would say that he received some significant spiritual healing to be able to see some things in his life from God's perspective, God's ways. God began to heal him spiritually to be able to see clearly from the perspective of God, because he began to call out to Jesus desperately. See, I think that in some of our lives, maybe even stuff that's going on in our lives this morning, and we might be just blind and not able to see, but we'd be like, I'm all good, I'm all good, I'm good, I'm good, I'll figure out a way. But if we maybe be honest about what's happening inside of our hearts, like my friend from high school, amidst everything of like natural life, the way he put it, he said, you know, on paper, my life is perfect. But if we just take a look inside and say, man, maybe I'm not all good. I'm not all good. And we begin to call desperately out to Jesus for the healing of Jesus in our lives on a spiritual level. Jesus wants to heal eyes physically, but Jesus also wants to heal eyes physically and spiritually. And I believe that God wants to do that this morning. Let's join our hearts together in prayer response to God's word. At this time, I'll ask the worship team and prayer team if you can come forward at this time as we respond to God's word in prayer. So all eyes closed and heads bowed, because I want to lead us to respond right now. First thing, I just want to point out, maybe some of us need to have a conversation with God to move away from some skepticism and cynicism of the works of God, of healings, of miracles, of just God's love and compassion. And maybe these days there's been some skepticism and some cynicism. Maybe we need to confess, repent, and turn away, and begin, like this man born blind when he received this healing, is just give praise to Jesus. Is just give him glory. That's the first thing this morning. Second thing this morning is, I mentioned that healing of eyes was Jesus' most frequent healing. I believe that Jesus' healing this morning for eyes is here. I'm not sure if there's anybody here with some situations with a physical eye condition, but I felt led as we close out service and we went to this word right here in this passage of one of Jesus' healings of eyes, I believe there's healing for you this morning. If you're struggling with some eye situations on a physical level, but also on a spiritual level, maybe some of us this morning would acknowledge, when we're honest about some stuff that's going on inside, is I'm not all good. I'm not all good. And you begin to call out desperately to Jesus for his perspective, for his insight, for his clarity, for his vision for your life. I believe God honors that prayer. And that's what Jesus did for this man in today's passage in John chapter 9. So as we close our service, we're up here to pray for any and all needs, but specifically, physical healing of eyes. Spiritually, that if we might be saying, I'm not okay, let God come and give us clarity of vision in our hearts to see things the way that he does. So Father, I just come as a representative of this church to ask that you would help remove skepticism and cynicism that's unhealthy from us. And with Jesus, we just give you praise. We give you praise for all the healings and all the testimonies that were shared along the way and all the further work that you want to do too, all the love and compassion that you want to do even here as we close out service this morning. Jesus, we want to praise you for it. And we welcome the ministry of Jesus this morning of healing our physical lives and spiritual lives. Help us, Lord, see some things in your perspective, from your eyes. Bring spiritual revelation this morning to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to worship the two songs as we close out. If you'd like prayer for any of what we just mentioned or other things, we'd love to pray for you up here at the altars.